Today is Wednesday, January 30th. This is the Women's Chumash Share. We begin Parshas Vayera, Bereishis, Perek Yudchet. Okay, Rabotai. We are going to begin today Parshat Vayera, Bereishit, Perek Yudchet. It's one of the most fascinating Parshiot in the Torah, and I'd like to dedicate today's Share to Vivi Rammer, the yard set to the memory, and Le'ilui Nishmat, to Vivi's father, Zichrono Livracha, Yaakov Chanoch, Ben Yisrael, Moshe V'Rachel, who was, this week's Parshas Mishpatim, which asks us to become decent, good, just good-natured people, and that's what Vivi's father was. A very kind, gentle, very good-natured individual, always concerned about doing the right thing. And that's what Parshat Mishpatim, this week's Parsha, is all about. So we begin now with Perek Yudchet, and there are several major issues that will be discussed, particularly by the Ramban, who elaborates at great length, reacting to a statement that the Rambam made in Moreh Nevuchim about this Parsha and many other episodes in the Torah. So I'll just read the opening Pasuk, or actually 2-3 Psukim, just to get a little flavor of what's happening. We concluded Lech Lecha with a lengthy analysis of the covenant that was established between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avram via Brit Milah. And the Torah elaborated and elaborated on it, said it 2-3 times. And the Torah ended Parshat Lech Lecha by stating that Avraham, Yishmael, and all of those in his house, Yelid Beito, the people who were born in his home, non-Jews, or whatever they were, they're not members of his family, and Miknat Beito, the individuals who he purchased, slaves, all circumcised themselves together with Avram. That's how the Parsha ended. Then the next unit is Vayera Elav Hashem Be'elone Mamre V'hu Yoshev Petach Ha'oel Kechom Ayom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avram in Elone Mamre, on the plains owned by Mamre, an individual by the name of Mamre, Vehu and Abe, Yoshev Petach HaOel Kechom Hayom, was sitting by the door as the day was heating up. Something that we don't know about today, heating up. So that's where he sat. In the heat of the day, he sits by the doorway. Vayisa einav vayar, and he sees, he lifts his eyes and he sees shlosha anashim nitzavim alav, vayar vayoratz likratam mipetach ha'oel vayishtachu arza. Enough. He has this vision, or he sees something, he sees these three people, and he gets very excited, the three people are coming to his doorway. Enough. Fine. So let me just outline some of the issues which we will begin to explore today. Number one, 99% of the time, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to someone, it is for the purpose of sharing a message. And every other time that it says Vayar or Vayera, it is always followed with what? Vayomer. God appears, and then he says. Either the message is communicated exclusively for the person with whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu shares that message. That happens with lots of Nevi'im. Personal messages. Moshe, at the beginning of his dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and of Sefer Shemot, is a lot of personal back and forth, going back and forth to accept the mission. I don't want to accept the mission. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're accepting the mission. I'm not. And so on and so forth. Or, as happens most frequently after Matan Torah, the interaction is to share a message with somebody else, usually with Am Yisrael. Here, we are going to deal with an issue that there is no dialogue between Avram and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It just says, Vayera Eilav Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared. To do what? For what? That's an issue that we will see how Parshanim deal with this. Yes?
It says here that three men were standing over him, and then he says he ran towards them. How could they be over him and then he's running towards
Okay, so the word Alav is translated, whoever's text you're using, is being translated literally. The word Al many times means next to, many times in the text. And Alav would obviously be next to him, not on top of him. Unless we will accept one of, we'll see in a second, Rambam's famous statement that this entire episode is a dream. And then three people hovering on top of him is exactly what he saw. Hovering on top. We will see. That's going to be the primary issue for today, is Rambam's view about certain issues that are described in the Torah. So that's another issue. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu here? What message is being communicated? The interaction with these three people obviously have to be explored. Are they real human beings? Are they angels of God that dressed up as human beings? The whole meal that will be described here, angels don't eat. So there is much to discuss. It's very fascinating. So as always, we always give our due respect to Rashi to open up our discussion. Vayera Eilav Hashem. Says Rashi in the name of the Midrash, Livaker et Hachole. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to visit Avraham because he was ill. After the Brit Milah, he was sick. He was sick. Now, how did the Medrash arrive? How did the Medrash come to this conclusion? How does the Medrash come to this conclusion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what in the text? I always tell you, a Medrash, even though their stories are sometimes unbelievable and seem contrived, made up, there is something in the text that is driving them to their interpretation. What in the text is convincing the Midrash that it's Levaker et Hachole? In other words, chapter 18 is related to what? To chapter 17. What in the text did they give that away?
He was sitting at the entrance of the... He was sitting.
He was sitting. So what? What does that know?
It was very hot out. It wasn't a place to really sit.
So, that what? But that's after Vayera Elav Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch appeared to him. How do we know that he's coming to visit him as a cholah?
Right before
it, Smichut HaParshiot. Okay, so, good. So, as you well know, good, Smichut HaParshiot is a possible issue, but Smichut HaParshiot is only an issue if it didn't belong there. And then, for some reason, the Torah put it there. Why did the Torah put something that doesn't belong there? Why? Because it must be to teach us a message. If it belongs there, that's exactly where it belongs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came next. Maybe he came to tell about his stock investments. How do I know it's Levaker
or Sachol? It doesn't say that Hashem initiated any conversation.
So what else, that's the one thing, but what else in the text, what is used here to refer textually to the previous state, to the previous paragraph? What? Okay. Yes, Vayera. That's. But what else?
Eilav.
That's what most believe. If this was an independent visit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has something to share with Avraham, it would say Vayera Hashem el Avraham, like it always says Vayera Hashem el Moshe, Vayar Hashem el Yoshiyahu.
Vayar Hashem El Yirmiyui. So whoever it is, the Torah, the Navi, the text tells us to whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking. You don't use a pronoun, a love, to him to represent if there is no connection. Since our last discussion was Avraham in the context of Brit Milah, Chazal, the Medrash, say, oh, we're still in the topic of Brit Milah, Vayera Elav, Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him. Despite the fact that at the end of Parshat Lech Lecha, the way in the Torah, the word ito appears in the Torah text is a pitucha, meaning that is an open line. The less of the line is left open. There are two ways in which the Torah in the written text communicates a new topic. One is a pitucha, topic A ends, and the rest of the line is blank. The new topic begins on the next line. Or a situma. Satum means closed. It's a closed line. The next topic starts, but there's a gap of 9 letters in between topic A and topic B. Here, and obviously, if it's a stuma, it's not as much as a break. That's why it's on the same line, only separated by 9 letters. Whereas, if it's a pitucha, then it's a greater break. There was nothing on that line. That's to communicate to us that this in theory is a new topic. So although this is a new topic, because in the Torah, the word ito appears on the line, the rest of the line is blank. And in fact, in many chumashim, such as this one, it tells you that's a psucha. They have 3 pays at the end. At the end of the parsha, 3 pays that tell you psucha. So the pay tells you that's how it's written in the Sefer Torah. Here too. Yet, the word elav is an indication to the Midrash that although it appears at a new text, it's not a totally new text. It's not a totally new story. Yeah.
Why did the Chachamim decide to make the 2 separate parshiyot?
I have no idea. We necessarily believe it could have been right. The prakim are not our distinctions. The perek is King James Bible, not our distinctions. We only operate with psucha and stuma. But you can ask, why did whoever arranged it this way, either HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe or whoever it was, why did you write the Sefer Torah this way? We have lots of such questions. Yes?
Is this Hashem appearing right now, have any connection to Hashem leaving him right before he started the Milah? He said that.
Okay, that's interesting. Remember we once said, when it said a couple of psukim earlier, Vaya'al Meito, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu left, and only then Avram did the circumcision. He didn't feel comfortable circumcising himself in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now the Torah is telling us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came back. Very good. I like that. Vayera Elav Hashem, he's coming back. Good. So Rashi continues. Let's continue with the Rashi. Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, Yom Shilishi Lemilato Hayah. This was the 3rd day after the Brit Milah. Uba HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vishaal Bishlomo. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to check upon Avram's welfare. Now, how does anybody know that it was the 3rd day? How do you know it was the 3rd day? Maybe it was the next day. Or the 5th day. How does anybody know? So the Gemara elaborates, the Midrash elaborates, and says that there is another text which indicates that the 3rd day is the most troublesome aspect for a circumcision patient. Where does it say that? We will learn it eventually in Parshat Vayishlach, in the Dina episode. So what did Shimon and Levi recommend to the people of Shechem? To Brit Milah. And then the Torah says, Vayehi bayom hashlishi biyotam ko'avim. I said, ke'ev, pain. When they were in real pain. So Rabbi Chama borrows that idea. That in relationship to Brit Milah, and in fact, many say that medically, it's only true for an adult patient of circumcision. But for a little pisher, 8 days old, the first day is the most difficult for the child, not the third day.
Well, that, I think by the third day you can get an infection.
Maybe. Okay, ich bin nicht ein Doktor. I don't know. I know, but everybody thinks it's the third day. Third day, so that's, but it's certainly for adults. That's what Rabbi Chama believes. So even though there is nothing in this text that indicates it is the third day, he suspects it is due to the fact that in another scenario, the Torah reports that the third day is the toughest in which, fine, very nice. Very nice. That's what Rashi says. That's what Rashi says. Yeah. So take a look now at page number one of the handout. And that which I observe that there is no statement here is mentioned by the Chizkuni. So take a look at the Chizkuni on the right hand side of the page. Vayera Elav. Omar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, he cites the same midrash. Yom Shlishi Lemilato Haya, Uba Hakadosh Baruch Hu V'Sha'al Bo. V'chein Mashma, and this seems to indicate the reality. Shalomatzinu Bishum Makom, Lashon Vayera, Deloktiv Abasrei Amira Odibur. We never ever find the word Vayera appearing in Tanakh, not followed by Vayomer or Vayedaber. Vahacha Loktiv. And here, it doesn't say that to that effect. Yes?
I'm going to run a fire alarm. It's just everybody not to move. It's only a test. It may not even sound. But
okay.
Just in case,
okay. Thank you. Thank you for letting us know. Umipnei ma nitra'eh. Why did a Kadosh Baruch Hu appear? Imlo levakro. If not, for no other reason other than visiting. I can't think of another reason why a Kadosh Baruch Hu would just come to visit Avram puklish today, just specifically today, right after the Brit Milah. Okay. V'yesh omrim. And others say, Ikar Mashinitra'eh HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeAvraham. The primary reason for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's appearance to Avraham, Lo Haya Ela Litzorech Ma'aseh Sdom. It is an episode that will take place at the end of chapter 18. Namely, God's decision to wipe out Sodom and Amorah. And he will write in the text, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, as the author of the text, that I don't feel comfortable implementing this decision until I speak to my faithful Ari Avraham. I have to let him know that. And then, of course, Avraham engages in petition on behalf of Sodom. So some claim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's appearance to Avraham has absolutely nothing to do with Bikur Cholim. It's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will tell Avraham. And there it says, Vayomer Hashem el Avraham. Except for some strange reason, the Torah interrupts it with the episode of these three angels. So, if you wanted to read the text properly, says the Chizkuni, if you now go to pasuk chaf,
Or, no, actually better Yud Zayin. Start at Yud Zayin. Vashem Amar. There you have Vashem Amar. So how are you supposed to read Perek Yudchet Pasuk Yud Zayin? What? But that's something else. Right. That's correct. Yes? Yeah. But let's start right here. Vayashem Amar. So if you want to ignore the Midrash, says the Chizkuni, just read Perek Yudchet Pasuk Aleph, Vayera Elav Hashem. And what's the next pasuk that appears? Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vahashem Amar. And God speaks. What does He say? Hamechaseh ani me'avram Hashem ani oseh. Am I going to what? Hide that which I plan on doing for Sodom. Am I going to hide it from Avram? Of course not. So from a simple pshat point of view, says Chizkuni, you don't have to introduce a midrash about Bikur Chol. And of course, if you were to ignore the Midrash, long sections of the Talmud would be crossed out because we learn out from here certain halachic principles. That the mitzvah of Hachnasat Orchim is greater than Kabbalat Pnei Ashchina. It is more significant to take care of guests than it is to welcome the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because what will Avram do when he sees the guest? What does he tell the Rabbi Hashem? Excuse me, I'm busy. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting waiting until he's finished with his... So all of that is predicated, of course, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't come to say anything. What did he do? He came to visit him. So, but from the pshat, says Chizkuni, you are not compelled to say that. The Torah, for some reason, interrupts with the three angels, and it would have been perhaps a little better that these three angel story should have been after God speaks to what? To Avraham. And after he prays. Because according to the Midrash, what are the functions of these three angels? What were their functions? One, Levaseret Sarah, to let Sarah know that she's going to have a baby. Two, to destroy Sodom. Three, to spare Lot. So it would have been perfectly logical to skip Pasuk Bet until Yud Zayin, go right to the God's thinking, what's running through his mind. Avram enters into petition. God turns him down, as we will learn, he will turn him down. And then God says, okay, here are my three angels who have an assignment. Destroy Sodom, save Lot, and inform Sarah that she's going to have a baby. I can't answer, I'll peep shot, why the three angel episode from Beth Yizan interrupts the dialogue of Aleph to Yitzchak. I can't answer that, I'll peep shot. Can't. I don't have a good answer.
But
yes?
What you deduced, that it's more important to welcome guests than to answer Hashem, isn't it? Is that the way we... believe now?
Of course. We believe that. That if you were convinced that God was sitting in your living room, if God is there, you tell him, please excuse me, I have to answer the door.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Does that mean if you're in the middle of davening?
That's what I was asking.
Okay, it's a very good question. The answer is no. In the middle of davening, you don't do anything. You don't do anything.
You don't do anything.
In fact, I'll just to answer your point, something I once heard from the Rav, very sharp. The Mishnah in Brachot tells us that when you daven, afilu nachash karuch al ikvo, even if there is a snake wrapped around your thigh, lo yafsik. You should not interrupt the Shema.
Oh,
Okay, so now you'll appreciate the way the Rav interpreted that Mishnah.
Okay.
Says the Rav, if you notice the snake, of course you have to get rid of the snake in the middle of the davening. Of course. Because it's a sakana. To allow that snake to bite you is potential death. Of course, the Mishnah doesn't expect that. The Mishnah is illustrating what type of kavana level you're supposed to have by davening. That you don't even realize that the snake is wrapped around your thigh. That's what the Mishnah is trying to tell us. Afilu nachash karuch atvo lo yapsik. Why lo yapsik? Because I'm so engrossed about the davening that I don't even notice it. But if you notice it, baby, go ahead and get rid of that snake. So tell your grandchildren not to be so terrified. Not to be so terrified. What?
Is it all davening or just
Shmon Esrei? Only Shmon Esrei. Only Shmon Esrei. Because the Mishnah, that particular Mishnah follows three prakim about Kriya Shema, and during Kriya Shema, you are allowed to respond to various inquiries. In fact, our halacha is that if you're in the middle of the Shema and somebody says Shabbat Shalom to you, not only are you allowed to answer back Shabbat Shalom, you are obligated to do so. That's what the Chavetz Chaim said. The Mishnah says that Leheshiv, if you are at a certain point, let's say in between Prakim, Uvisharecha, then Mutar Lecholad Lehashiv Shalom Lechol Adam. Not only mutar, says the Chavetz Chaim, you're obligated to do so. And then there are times, even if in the middle of a perek, that if somebody, your parent walks in, for whom you're chayav, kibud or yira, yeah, you can even initiate a greeting at times for them. Or a melech walks in, but Shmon Esrei, lo yapsik afilu hamelech sho'el bishlomo. Even if a king is coming over to you and says, good morning, sir, you are to ignore. Of course, as the Rambam says, it's talking about a Jewish king. A Gentile king, you better interrupt him. You better interrupt your Shmon Esrei, because otherwise you can get killed. So again, it's just a certain atmosphere that you're so engrossed in the davening, you don't notice the king, you don't notice the snake, and so on and so forth. Good.
What do you do?
What? Phone.
Phone.
Never answer the phone.
Yes. How do they get from that? Abraham could leave Hashem's conversation to greet people, but we can't leave the Amidah.
Okay, it's a good. I don't have a good explanation what the difference is. I don't have. What?
Abraham wasn't involved in the conversation.
Right. Who knows? We don't know. I can't imagine how Kodesh Baruch was sitting there and Abraham ignored him. Yes, the Baruch, what's up? What are you doing today?
Nobody says why.
Nobody says why.
Thank you.
Yes.
What if you have to go to Mecca?
To where?
If you're saying Shmona Esrei and you have to use that.
If it's really compelling, you're not allowed to daven. What you do is you interrupt your Shmona Esrei and then start again.
Yeah.
It's considered, the Rambam writes, if you really have to go to the bathroom, and it's tefilato to'eva, it's abominable to daven under those circumstances. So you're supposed to try to prepare oneself before Shmon Esrei. But let's move on. Go right below this, and Sfarno makes an incredible observation. Incredible. Vayera elav Hashem ve'elonei mamre. Kisham Nimol Avraham Az. Why does the Torah tell us where that this God appearance took place? Where Elonei Mamre? Because that's where Avraham happened to have been circumcised, in Elonei Mamre. We will see Rashi expands greatly on this with a troublesome midrash. Rashi will quote it a little later. V'chol Beito Nimolu Ito. And all of his household was circumcised with it. Shom hofia ha'el yitbara shechinato la'amod bibrit. You know what Vayera Elof Hashem means? Says Sfarno. That God attended the Brit. He deliberately came to appear at the time of the Brit. Kimishpat lechol kortei berit. Whenever you engage in a covenant with two parties, you need both parties present. Right?
And you have a NATO signing, a covenant, you need both nations to come and agree that a war upon one is considered a war upon all. So if Avram is now engaging in the covenant of Brit Milah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to be there. So Vayera Elav Hashem means not to come visit, it's to be present where? At the circumcision. Ki inyan atem nitzavim le'avracha bivrit Hashem Elokecha. As it says in Dvarim, in Parshat Nitzavim. What does it say? Atem nitzavim kulchem lifnei Hashem Elokechem. All of you are standing in the presence of God. Why are all of you standing in the presence of God? Le'avrecha bivrit Hashem Elokecha. Because at the end of Moshe's life, in addition to the Brit at Sinai, he makes another Brit called the Brit of Arvot Moav. He establishes another covenant for the purpose of including Eretz Yisrael as part of the relationship and the foundation of Bnei Akiva. Torah, Am Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael. So in addition to the covenants that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with Am Yisrael at Sinai, which is independent of Eretz Yisrael, at Moshe's life, at the end of his life, he establishes another covenant, and that's the beginning of Parshat Nitzavim. But you have both parties present. Atem Nitzavim, everybody, Rosheichem, Shifteichem, Ziknechem, Vishodrechem, Kol Ish Yisrael, Tapchem, Nesheichem, everybody's there. In whose presence? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we're establishing a covenant. That part of our relationship with God is that He will award us Eretz Yisrael and never renege on that commitment. So here too, that's what's happening right here. Ukeinyan vayichrot lifnei Hashem vayaamod kol ha'am bibrit. V'nir'ah la'Avraham shehaya muchan mikulam le'oto hamareh. Why does God only appear to Avraham, despite the fact that there are several hundred people who just circumcised themselves? Remember we reported in the name of somebody that, or who were the Yelid Beito? Those 318 people who went to war with Avraham against Kedorlaomer, the five kings. Remember that episode? So we're talking about 700 people. The only one who has the zechut of seeing or feeling and experiencing the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though they're all engaged in this covenant, is Avraham. Because he was prepared spiritually to receive the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is a lengthy Rambam where he describes the conditions that a person has to have in order to be worthy of nivuah, of being spoken to by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And it requires an incredible commitment to spiritual refinement. And Avram was the only one of the several hundred people. V'chein vayifkesheyu Hashem. Please open up. I'm not going to repeat the whole thing, but open up to Shmot, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Chav Dalet. Sfarno says something brilliant here. Open up to Shmot. Vayi baderech hamalon, vayifkesheyu Hashem, vayivakesh hamito. Not going to tell you the whole thing. That's Rashi. Correct. That's what he's going to refer to. So the Torah reports Moshe is traveling. He's going back from Midian to Mitzrayim to begin accepting the mission of becoming the Redeemer of Am Yisrael. And he checks into Motel 6. And they left the light on for him. Vayifkesheyu Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu encounters Moshe. Doesn't say a bloody word. And it says, Vayivakesh Hamito. Good. The text is puzzling.
offers no inclination to us as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to kill Moshe. No way. So Rashi and Sepharno now are going to claim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be angry at Moshe because he failed to circumcise his child coming back from Midian. He failed to circumcise his child. Okay? Now, this interpretation, it's adopted by almost all the Parshanim, is incredibly difficult. Number one, difficult halachically, because a parent who does not circumcise his child is never punished by death. Never. You're not punished? No, it's not. It's not punished. The obligation of a parent is to circumcise his child, and that ends at age 13. After age 13, the child himself is obligated to circumcise himself, and if the child does not circumcise himself, his punishment is karet. And in fact, it's one of the odd situations. You are not chayav karet until you're ready to die. Because until you're ready to die, you can still implement the mitzvah. You could have circumcised himself. So it's a funny thing. When you're ready to die, you're chayav karet. It's very hard to articulate and explain. But the parent is never obligated. So why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to kill him? Furthermore, the argument is, does anybody know how many times Am Yisrael circumcised their children while they traveled to the desert?
None.
Once at the time of right before Yitziat Mitzrayim in order to enable them to eat Korban Pesach, because if you're not circumcised, you're not allowed to eat Korban Pesach.
Then they travel.
After that, they did not circumcise anybody. Why? Because when you're traveling, it's a little dangerous for a child to be circumcised and travel in the course of the desert. Well, Moshe was traveling. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu suddenly come and what? Get angry. Now you're telling me? Now you're getting angry at me? I'm traveling. Why are you getting so upset? So it's a very difficult interpretation. But nonetheless, Rashi articulates it, and Sfarno here is documenting it. So what do you think the Torah is indicating when it says Vayivakesh Hamito? So Moshe he didn't quite get it. But what did Tzipporah do? What did Tzipporah do? She understood it. So what did she do? Vatikach Tzipporah. So she takes a stone and circumcises the little pesher. No. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be present. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to be present? Because he's doing part of the bris. He's becoming part of the bris. So Vayifkisheyu Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu encountered him. Did he have to say anything to him? No. He's not here to say anything. He's here to witness a Brit Milah. That's the simple pshat, says Sfarno. Exactly replicating the simple pshat that appears in our pasuk. Vayera elav Hashem, to be present at the Brit Milah. Then Sfarno says, this will blow your mind. Shalonire Sham Lidabero Moshe, three lines in the bottom of the Sfarno. He didn't appear to say anything to Moshe. Aval Hofia Shchinato Likabel Brit Beno. He appeared to him just to be present at the circumcision of Moshe's little peshers. Ki Omro, as it states in the previous Pasha which he learned, that the bris is Beini Ubeinechem, the covenant between me, says God, and you, Lidorotechem, for all future generations. It's not only a sign of a covenant between Avraham and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the covenant by everyone. Ve'ulai bishvil zeh nohagu lahachin kisei be'et hamila ubimkoma. Wow. It's against everybody else's interpretation. What do we call that chair? Kisei shel Eliyahu.
Sparrow says, who gets rid of Eliyahu? That's all you know that to do with this. It's the chair for whom? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shekhinah. Who's going to be present at the Brit Milah. Why is he going to be present? Because at every single Brit, we are fulfilling Beini u'beinechem lidorotechem. That's why you have a kise, not kise shel Eliyahu. When I saw this, I was like, wow. Wow.
Why does Eliyahu come in? This is so
This
nice.
Is nothing to do with Eliyahu.
So why do we have Eliyahu at every
There's day? Another story. Oh, another explanation.
This is such a nice scene.
It's a beautiful explanation. But the primary source is a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, which I will...
I think I have it here for you. Yeah, which a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, which has a different reference, a different story behind the kiset. Has a different story. So the standard explanation is not based on Svarno. It's a beautiful thought, much more compelling than having Eliyahu present. We will see. I cited the original source. It's a midrash, a collection of midrashim called Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. The studies of Rabbi Eliezer, and he quotes this particular practice as the Kisa Shel Eliyahu. But Svarno doesn't make reference to Eliyahu. He says, fine, this is number one. That's beautiful thought. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present at every Brit on account of the fact that he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a signatory to this particular... If you go to page 2 for a second... And the pages are ordered, are numbered in order today. There's nothing in the sports world happening significant. Maybe next week when we have after the Super Bowl, we'll be able to talk about it. I'm sure you're going to watch the Super Bowl Sunday night. Of course. So the Midrash here, in this Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, and after the episode, if you go, I actually bracketed 3 lines from the bottom. You should go to 4 lines from the bottom.
Okay.
It's discussing an event that the Torah describes at the beginning of Parshat Pinchas. At the beginning of Parshat Pinchas, it follows the episode at the end of Balak, where in Parshat Balak, Mr. Bilam attempts to curse Am Yisrael. And every time he tries to curse Am Yisrael, every single time he tries to curse Am Yisrael, what happens? What happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu converted it to a bracha. Finally, Bilam recognizes that if you want to defeat Am Yisrael, you have to set them up for violations, for transgression. And the Torah describes Binot Moav, the daughters of Moav. After all, it was Melech Moav who hired Bilam in order to defeat Am Yisrael, because he was worried that they were going to overpower and trample him. So his suggestion was, Bilam's was, take your daughters, let them flirt with members of Am Yisrael, and that will get God's wrath against Am Yisrael. And it succeeded to such a point that the Nasi of Shevet Shimon, Zimri ben Solu, the Nasi, had relations with a Moabite woman whose name was Kazbi Batsur. It's described in the text itself. So what did Pinchas do? He took his dagger and he killed he killed both of them. Cosby and Zimri ben Salu, he killed both of them. And we call that kin'ah. Kano kineti. You acted with zealotry to protect my honor and my name. That's what Pinchas did. Good. Later on in Tanakh, there is
an episode of Eliyahu confronting the idolaters amongst Am Yisrael. And of course, what does he do? He challenges them on Har HaKarmel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the word, he uses the word, he uses the words Kano Kineti. Kano Kineti. I have respected the fact that you have what? Have acted as a zealot on my behalf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Eliyahu. And the word Kin'ah appears by Pinchas. Bekano et Kinati. Same word, Kin'ah, religious zealotry. Which leads Chazal to believe that Pinchas and Eliyahu are the same person. Pinchas ze Eliyahu. Pinchas ze Eliyahu. And now read this. A line before I bracket it. But a line before I bracket Shine Emar, where it quotes Bamidbar chapter 25, verse 11. Pinchas ben Elazar, Vekan atamikane. And now you, Eliyahu, are also what? Are also what? Engaging as a religious zealot to protect my honor and dignity. Chayecha, I swear by your life, She'ein Yisrael osin brit milah ad she'ata ro'eh be'einecha. There will be no brit milah for anybody in Klal Yisrael unless you personally are there to witness it.
Personally who?
Eliyahu.
Is that a reward?
That's a reward to Eliyahu. Hold on 1 second. Mikan hitkinu chachamim shiyu osav mo'osin moshav kavod l'malach habrit. From here, we now have established a practice that we have a chair to welcome this malach habrit. And who is this malach habrit?
Eliyahu.
What does it mean he is the malach habrit? In fact, the Moel, he says those words, if you listen attentively. Eliyahu Malach Habris. Eliyahu Malach Habris is here, Omeid Lefanecha. He's going to guard the child, and so on and so forth. And Eliyahu is the one who's going to herald and announce the arrival of the Messianic Age. Just 1 second. Elohei Yisrael Yachish V'Yavi B'Chayenu Mashiach l'nachameinu, v'yichadesh l'vaveinu, shine'emar v'heshiv le'vavot al banim. Parents with their children. So the primary source of the chair is this source, which is having a chair dedicated to welcome Eliyahu HaNavi. And Eliyahu HaNavi is being rewarded due to the fact that he followed the model of Pinchas, engages in religious zealotry, leading Chazal to identify Pinchas who Eliyahu, and therefore I have to have a chair to welcome Eliyahu HaNavi at every single bris. Yes?
The rationale that I've heard, in addition, is also that Eliyahu despaired of the future of the Jewish people.
That's what I mean.
And right, and then he was condemned in eternity to have it proven to him, both at the Seder and at every brit. You thought that they would no longer.
That is another explanation.
So it's not a reward.
But it's not the primary source. This is the primary source for the minhag of Kisei Shel Eliyahu.
Who's writing
it? His name is Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana. Tanaitic sage Rabbi Eliezer wrote a collection of Midrashim, which he had called Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. It's not found, it's not well known, not well documented. It's in fact in the back of the Gemara of Maseches Avodah Zarah. They decided to publish it. Yeah. Good. So that's what this Sfarno says. And that's what... So there are two possible explanations now. It's Eliyahu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes.
I just can't understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give up being at the Brit.
It's just...
Isn't it a giving up?
No, it's not giving up. This midrash operates on the assumption that God never attended a bris.
Oh.
This is only Svarno's idea that God attends every single Brit. That's Svarno's idea. No one else's.
Oh.
Very original, I must say. But what Svarno accomplishes is that you don't have to say that God came to be Menachem. He didn't come to be Mevakechola. According to Svarno, God came not to visit anybody who's sick. He came to be present at the bris itself. That's what he's doing here. And therefore he doesn't have to say anything. I just want to close, just to remind you, if you go back to that episode of Vayif Kesheyu Hashem, which he referred to, if you go back in the text to Shmot Dalid for a second, I just want to share with you Rabbi Kanatopsky's brilliant observation about Vayivakesh Hamito. If you go back to Shmot Dalid, Chapter 24 for a second, with this I'll close. I think I told this to you once before, but a review can never hurt. If you're chaza, you forget. That's a very old Chinese proverb. You don't chaza, you forget. So it says, Vayivakesheu Hashem, Vayivakesh Hamito. So I took So I just told you the midrashic background, said Rabbi Kanatopsky. All along, when Moshe is going down, I don't have time to show you each pasuk, although Moshe is traveling from Midian to Mitzrayim, there is nowhere that indicates that he has actually made a decision to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's challenge, to accept the load of being the Redeemer of Am Yisrael. It has not. In fact, there are a lot of psukim, I don't have time to go in, that show that he's still hedging. He's still thinking about it.
He's resisting.
So now, can you imagine if you have one disposition not to do something, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you, do it. Do it. So you come to the motel, Vayhi Baderech Bamalon, and you're trying to go to sleep. Vayivakesh Hamito. The agony is causing him as if he's dying. He's in so much agony. Why is he in so much agony? Why? Because he doesn't want to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's challenge. And yet he knows who's talking. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked him to do it. So the agony is killing him. And finally, Tzipora picks up a stone and says, Mo, you give me this big story about God revealing himself to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and making a covenant with them, and promising them to be his nation, and to go to Israel. And you are now hesitating to accept that mission? I could have stayed in Midian and had a great life. My father was the Kohen Midian, the high priest of Midian. I lived in a very comfortable house. And now I got to travel in the desert with you to get to Egypt? So what does she do to convince Moshe, you have to accept this mission? She does Brit Milah, because that's the covenant to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael are eternally matched. Therefore, the very next pasuk, look at the next pasuk after that event, Vayomer Hashem, what does it say? After that, what does it say? Vayomer Leich Likrat Moshe. We never find another word out of Moshe's mouth
at least until something happens, that he's not going to accept the mission. And in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Aaron, tells Moshe, your brother is on his way to greet you.
Yes, it's a done deal.
Done deal. After that event, it was a done deal.
Yes,
so by Yivakesh HaMitoh, it's nothing to do with the Brit Milah, which halakhically is a major problem. It's the agony and the anxiety of not wanting to do something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks you to do. That is torment beyond belief. We'll stop here.
But he sees his wife has a sharp tone, and she knows how to use it.
Yes. I know when you're supposed to take challah for baking challah. That's, you have to take half a shot of challah. If you're using less than 6 cups of flour, do you have to take hafrasha even if you don't? You're not required to make a bracha.
The minhag is to do so.
So no matter what, you always take hafrasha whether you make a bracha or not.
Correct.
And you don't make any. You don't say anything. You
don't
just
say anything.
Take it off?
Because it's, you don't make a bracha. It's al pidin. There's no chiyuv.
Right. So that's what I'm not.
So the minhag is to do it. Why? Because the reason, I'll tell you why the minhag is based on.
Okay.
The whole mitzvah of being giving challah today doesn't exist in Chutz La'aretz. It's
okay.
A mitzvah that's limited to Eretz Yisrael. So why did they introduce this obligation which women execute so faithfully? Shelo tishtakach Torat Chal. Because we're in Golos for 2,000 years, and then you'll forget about the whole mitzvah of Hafrashas Challah. So they wanted to maintain its remembrance, so therefore they said, you know, even if you're not technically chayiv, just do it so that you'll remember this mitzvah of Challah, so when we get to Eretz Yisrael, bevoachem el haaretz, you'll be able to do it perfectly.
So I should still take off, just don't say
anything. That's correct.
If I was living in Israel, time of the Beit HaMikdash, if my husband's a Kohen, would I still have to take off?
Of course.
Okay.
Sure.
Even though the Kohanim would get it.
That is correct. He has to give it to another kind.
And when's it your turn?
And he has
to
give Trumat Maser. A Kohen has to give Truma a section of the... Right, he gets it from everybody else. But he has to give some of his own as well. Because otherwise, you're not allowed to eat the bread. As soon as you knead a dough, it is tevel. Tevel means something from which Trumot and Masrot have not been taken. It's Asur Midda Oraisa to eat that.
In Israel?
In Israel, yes.
But here, if I'm making...
Even if you didn't take truma today, even if you made 20 cups of flour, you violate nothing. It's because it's a chiyuv. It's only midrabanan shelo tishtakach toras challah.
Is there an iser of making challah with less than the required amount?
Absolutely not.
A friend of mine told me, I should never bake challah unless I'm using 5 pounds.
Absolutely not.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Welcome.
Rabbi Eliezer, is it the one that we know of? I mean, from
I'm not sure which Rabbi Eliezer it is. I'm not sure. I have to check. There are a lot of Rabbi Eliezer.
I'm curious about that.
I don't know. There are many.